What's the most spinning situation you've been through? A spinning situation. I recall as a seventh grader standing in line with a group of friends to get on a summertime carnival ride. Maybe you experienced this at some point. This ride, we stood there, it was a popular ride, so it was a long line, so we stood there anticipating the ride and watching it in action, and it was one of these deals where you get into a cage with your friends, and it starts spinning, but it was a cage, and then there were multiple cages hanging off arms on this thing, and everything would spin, like the arms would spin and the cages would spin. It was just crazy. And it was back in the day when there were, apparently no real legal specifications about this, because there were no protective cushions or seatbelts. And so you got into this thing, and they shut the door, and the thing started spinning like crazy. It was wild. Probably should have been illegal for any human to get in it. And when we stepped out, finally got out of the cage, the group of friends and me, I remember just feeling utterly dizzy and dismal and disoriented. And I'm not kidding you, it felt like an interminable amount of time staggering around, trying to get reoriented. I was so disoriented from that ride, so dizzy. Truth is, all of us right now carry collective, dizzy, and disoriented feelings these days, don't we? I've heard multiple people express it like this. It feels like the world is spinning out of control. Maybe you've said it. On the macro scale, with wider, wild world events, spinning out of control. And on the micro scale, not any less important, but close to home things like our own hearts and our own close to home worlds, we feel dismal and dizzy and disoriented. I feel it. I feel it. I know many of you do. I hear it from you. Right here is where the sacred lines that we'll consider today, if we clue in and if we're willing to sit with them and actually soak in them, well, they'll help us a lot. These sacred lines will help a whole bunch. With our world spinning out of control, what happens? Our anxiety rises. It feels like peace is fleeting. And then what happens? Our griping and grumbling become the norm in our lives. Discontent and discouragement take over our souls. And here's where we desperately need reorientation, a reset, a renewal in our outlook. And that's really what this cluster of Psalms really all about. Helping us get reoriented in our dizzy, disoriented world. The full cluster is Psalms 93 through 100. Now, we're starting today in Psalm 96, and across these weeks leading up to Advent, we're going to look at 96, 97, 98, 99, and 100. But this whole batch of Psalms focuses in a special way on this theme: God is King. God is King, and the focus is on his rule and reign. His divine kingdom is featured as a guiding, motivating theme across all of the Bible, certainly, and it's extra punctuated right here in this cluster of Psalms. So good for us, so good for you, so good for me. I need this right now. I was really struck this week in all of the flurry of the bad and sad and horrific news and in all that transpires, and then in my own life certain dynamics, and in your lives certain dynamics that just flood us, and if we're not careful, overwhelm us. I was so struck by how good this can be for us right now. So listen or look on, and we're going to consider clusters of these verses together. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 96, verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord," a new song. "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." Now, a little bit of backdrop. The Psalms are Israel's songbook for worship. But they're way more than some entertaining tunes to help God's people feel good. Certain spots within the Psalms can certainly do that. It can be inspiring and help us feel better about life, absolutely. But they're more than that. They are inspired collection of songs to be sung in worship, originally at the tabernacle and eventually in the temple in Jerusalem, once the temple was established for God's people, the Israelites, and then by ripple effect in all of life, every day. Don't miss that. By ripple effect in life, every day. See, with repetition of the songs, God's people learned them and remembered them, a lot like you might recall your favorite country song. Go ahead, admit it. How many of you have a favorite country song? Yeah, I see some hands. All right, you got a favorite country song. It's interesting, right? Or a Broadway tune. And it's something you learn and you remember it and you buy the soundtrack and then you listen to the lyrics and you croon along to it. With repetition, for God's people, the Psalms became, well, something they could learn and remember and then recall. And in recalling could gain reorientation. Yes, in gathered worship times, the Psalms were often accompanied by all sorts of instruments. In fact, we discover that Psalm 96 plus other Psalms are linked to David in 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16 tells about when the Ark of the Covenant was brought by King David to the sacred tent that was being set up in Jerusalem. And so David goes all out in singing, and some of the lines he sings are the very words we're considering this morning. Again, we see this in 1 Chronicles 16. Crucial to realize. Psalms convey in poetic fashion the full tapestry of our human emotions and thoughts about life, love, evil, heartache, sin, goodness, and all-out joy, but always through the lens of the Lord God, creator, sustainer, redeemer, and king. King of all. And if we slow down, we spend time and really soak in them. Like a really good marinade. How many of you, when it comes to a good chunk of meat, you know the power of a marinade? Huh? How many of you? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you slap that big old piece of beef in there and let it sit there for a bunch of hours and come back. And then when you kiss it on the grill, it's like, oh, yeah. And some, oh yeah, can happen in our souls in renewal and reorientation when we slow down enough, when we're courageous enough, when we're open and honest enough to let our souls marinate in the Psalms. In this Psalm, Psalm 96 this morning, one of the unique things to realize about praise Psalms, which this set of Psalms are part of praise Psalms, one of the neat things to realize is that praise psalms like these, well, there's normally this volley that happens within them of a call to praise and then cause to praise. A call to praise and then a cause behind it. So it's not just like, oh, come on, hype it up, yeah, come on, woo, 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 woo. And no, there's content, there's cause behind it. There's rich content. So I want to urge you this morning and all across the series to watch for that call and cause all across Psalms 96 through 100. Here in fall 23, everything feels like it's flying fast and furious, fast and ferocious. Too fast, right? Too fast related to multiple wars and earthquakes and egocentric nasty politics and murderous power-hungry rulers and others. In our own lives, closer to home, you may know the ugliness and clashes between neighbors, family members that can't seem to see eye to eye, and the press and the stress of economic difficulties. So much feels like it's spinning out of control. And here's where Psalm 96 can help reorient us in amazing ways. So as we walk through Psalm 96 in the next few minutes, we're going to see, yes, call to praise, and yes, cause, that content for really praising, but also, and here's what we're going to focus on, so I want to encourage you, be ready to grab these, we're going to focus on the catalysts, the personal catalysts for reorienting in our dizzy days, those catalysts. First, note the call to sing to the Lord. You see it? Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. It's threefold. Right? Dare not shrug or otherwise try to downplay it. It's not like a little bit of suggestion. No, it's actually positive command right here. And now some people readily say, I've heard this all across the years, people I hear them readily say it, maybe you've said it, I'm not really into singing out loud. I have a hunch that David, King David, the psalmist would say, "Tough, get over it. It's really not optional. It's actually good for you and essential for growing and reorienting." See, reorienting is about getting your head and your heart set straight and solid again. Reorienting is about considering bigger and better truth, a bigger and better way to see God and see life so that it grabs your imagination and resets your focus and then resets what you do as a result. It's really good for you to sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. So here's our serious catalyst number one for reorienting. Sing aloud with Godward intentionality. Sing aloud with Godward intentionality. Catch how it's Godward to the Lord? Here's where your heart, feelings, and higher, better thoughts gain expression in joyous sound from your mouth. Again, here's where something different starts to happen in what you're thinking about and what you're feeling, and those two things go together, and then it sparks in your imagination in such a way that you vocalize it. You share it, you say it, you express it. And so that reorientation starts to happen in new ways, in fresh ways. Notice it's a new song. We sing aloud with Godward intentionality, and it's a new song. So nothing stale, ho-hum, predictable. No, it's vibrant, content-rich, zest and zing that refocus our perspective on the Lord. It's refocused like that. This is so good for your inner psyche, your soul. See how David says, day after day, this becomes daily soaking, daily, day after day. So this is not just an at church on Sunday, though that's a good start. You're here today, that's awesome. It's not just when you feel good, praise. No, in fact, that's part of the beauty of the Psalms is that they can intersect our hearts, our minds, our imaginations, and spark new things, especially and even when we're not feeling it. Daily. And notice it's a wide call. Do you see that? To the whole earth. Other places in the Psalms will express, and we see it right here in this psalm, are going to express the parallel thought, all peoples, all nations. It's true here and across this psalm cluster. God's heart of mission is passionately expressed. The Psalms help us know the Lord God, the God we know, is always for more people. He's our missionary God. He's our missional God. That's why we talk so much here at Manor about wanting to be in everyday life, people on mission with him, loving his mission, passionate for his mission day after day. And even our praise gets in on this. In other words, when you choose to have different imagination every day, it comes out. It comes out in great ways. God's heart of mission. He's for more people. And he calls us to praise him with such missional focus. Note the core clause and content. Bless his name, praise his name. Names reveal character, they do. Who someone is, what someone does. Your character, who you are, what you do. In our day, we often talk about brand and messaging. Brand and messaging are a little bit like this. Try this, just try this. I'm gonna say some names and just go ahead and shout out what immediately comes to mind. Go ahead, don't hold back. Just shout out what immediately comes to mind. McDonald's, French fries, Big Mac, hamburger. I think I heard somebody say yuck, greasy, okay. Let's try another one. Chick-fil-A, Jesus chicken, is that what I heard? Yeah, okay, all right, maybe. Hey, how about the Chick-fil-A drive-thru? Is that not praiseworthy, huh? I mean, the people who invented their drive-thru system, they should run our government, right? The U.S. government, right? Okay, Chick-fil-A, let's try a couple more. Apple. I think I heard somebody say pie. Somebody else said watch. Phone, Apple, interesting, right? Okay, let's try one or two more. Taylor Swift. Kelsey, who would have thought, like just a couple months ago, how would that be the first thing said? I think somebody out there said crummy music. Did somebody say crummy music? No, okay. Names. Names speak who someone is, what someone does, some quality of product, some quality outcome that then, well, what? It gets a response from us, right? So move this into the Lord's name and we gain a catalog, rich content of causes for praise. Verse 2 calls us to proclaim the glad tidings of his saving work. We joyfully share how he forgives sin, how he saves us, how he delivers us, yes, in everyday ways. His delivering power, his saving work in everyday ways, and then in that eternal, long-lasting, eternal way, the forgiveness of our sins and his work of redemption, not only in our lives, but in all of history and all the world. Note more of the cause and content of our call to praise, his glory and his wondrous deeds. Glory and wondrous deeds. The word glory, we often hear it and we immediately think like bright lights or something like that, but the ancient way of thinking about it was actually the idea of something being heavy, weighty, gloriously impressive, big time. A present day culture often applauds people and things being slim, compact, skinny even. So none of you actually still want one of those big old phones from the 90s. Did anybody ever own one of those? One of those big old phones? Yeah. No, what do you want now? You want skinny? You want efficient like that? But think about it. In many circumstances, even today, that's not the case in our culture, totally. Compact cars are not everyone's cup of tea. Plenty of you guys want a big old Silverado with a towing package. You want a truck that's glorious like that. Gals, even, there are seasons when a big minivan, there's an oxymoron, right? Big minivan is glorious. You want an NFL offensive tackle to be massive. You do not want him to be my frame. You want him to be, on average, they're 6'4" and 300 pounds. Offensive tackles, you want your offensive tackle on your team to be truly glorious. This biblical word conveys the Lord's mighty, impressive power, his honor, his stunning reputation, his abundance of his rule and reign on the great big things and on the everyday things, his glorious kingdom with implications for our everyday. Not only what is happening on the outside in our world and in our macro and micro, but in our inner world. He's so glorious that he changes things up on the inside for you. Some of you are grinning. I know what you're thinking about because you've told me lately some of the ways he's working wonders inside you and through you. It's awesome. Implications in the everyday. There's more of the call and content behind our call to sing praise. His marvelous deeds, so wonderful, naturally incomprehensible. We often say, beyond belief. He works wonders that are miraculous, extraordinary. Now look at verses 4-6. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Several more standout causes for us to respond to that call to praise him, plus another serious catalyst. And here's the catalyst. Notice how appropriate it is to engage holy fear and trembling. To engage holy fear and trembling. It should be for us a big catalyst. See, in tandem with God's love, goodness, grace, and mercy, those goodies we just love to delight in tandem with those is the reality of his strong justice, holy righteousness, and judgment against wickedness. His full-orbed character should prompt us to awe and reverence. A holy fear before him. His awe-inspiring character is set in contrast, did you catch it? Contrast to the commonplace gods of the nations. The word translated idols in verse 5 actually means nothingness, insufficiency, feeble, worthless. What I think of average hand dryers in most public restrooms. You notice it? They blow nothingness, and then you need to wipe your hands, your freshly washed hands on your jeans as you walk out the door, right? Nothingness. Or tire air machines that want you to pay $2 for air. What's up with that? Back when I was a kid, you stopped to fill your tire and you got a real air compressor, substantial, limitless air came out, and it was free. If you wonder, I have an opinion about this. In great contrast to such nothingness, the Lord, you catch what Psalmist says? The Lord made the heavens. During these fall evenings, have you taken a walk lately and dared to look up? Stare at the stars and go, oh, wow. See, we know a God who, we know the God who accomplished and accomplishes things. He accomplished and he accomplishes things. Total contrast to the nothingness idols of all the nations. Verse 6 spotlights God's splendor, majesty, beauty, and strength in his holy place. Remember, 1 Chronicles 16, history. So this has a setting to it. Don't miss that. 1 Chronicles 16, this is being shared. Don't forget it. As the ark comes into the worship tent and David's going crazy singing praise. All out passion, David's words have a double ring right here. Don't miss this. Double ring, both for the earthly and the heavenly. And they also, as so many of the Psalms do, his words start pointing us toward glorious Jesus. glorious Jesus who came, as John says in John chapter 1, to tabernacle among us. John says, and we beheld his glory. Glory as from the one and only Father. And he goes on to say, full of grace and truth. I'm going to urge you across this series to be watching for all the ways that we hear the Spirit of God through the written word of God showing it's Jesus. Now catch verses 7-9. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families and nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him. There it is. Tremble before him, all the earth. Just like the threefold sing, sing, sing to the Lord of verses 1 and 2. Now, you see it? Now it's a threefold ascribe. Ascribe, ascribe to the Lord. Some translations render it give, which is actually a way more tangible, down-to-earth way of saying it. It's even more helpful. Give, give, give. Verse 8 speaks of an offering, which further reinforces that our worship should get tactile. Here's another catalyst for reorienting. Get tangible in giving God your worship. Get tangible in giving God your worship. Get tangible in giving God your worship. How has God's character moved you lately? Truly, in real time. In your own everyday life. How has God's character moved you lately? Are you tangible? What have you done to tell him and tell other people what you think of him? What have you given him with your energy and your time and your resources of all kinds based on his grace poured out for your life, based on his mercy poured into your life in just heartfelt response? What have you given him lately? Your generosity toward him, your generosity toward others. How about times of just slowing down to sit in his holy presence? When have you recently just actually taken time? Some of you may want to do it. I see more and more of you doing this. Some of you may want to do this just even before you leave today. Just stick around. I saw several people doing it after 9 o'clock service. Just stick around. Listen. Pray. Reflect. And let that be a spark plug for you for all week long, not just here on Sundays, but all week long to spend time soaking in his presence. See, in David's world and in the Lord's call to us, grateful praise shouldn't stay tucked away. Too many of us, we want to go all just so privatized. And we just want to keep it inside. Don't let anybody else know about it. Don't keep it tucked away. Express it. Tremble before him. When's the last time you trembled in God's presence? Now, if you hear all of this morning and you're feeling stretched, wonderful. That's the Lord's point, and it's actually really good for our souls, even and especially if you're feeling uncomfortable. Growing trust in God stretches us some more, and we feel more uncomfortable. It's right there that he meets us, and it's right there that we can grow. Verse 10 punctuates the message. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Here's our ruling, reigning, missionary God calling us to join him. Here's further catalyst. Don't miss this one. Further catalyst. Say it. Proclaim his rule and reign. Say it. Proclaim his rule and reign. With our lips and with our lives and how we live, love, and work every day. A special note about November 26th, you don't want to miss it. A month from now, that Sunday morning, cap off of this series, it's one service. So instead of 9 and 10:30, we're going to all be together at 10 o'clock. And we're going to have open mics for praise so you can say it. So get ready. I want to urge you to be thinking now, starting in advance to think about what you're going to proclaim. And then also baptism that Sunday. We already have one person wanting to get baptized and is getting ready for that. And some of you, you should also, seriously. If you've never been baptized before and you're trusting Jesus as your king, the one who reorients your life, the one who puts the pieces back together, that Sunday is your Sunday, seriously. Hear that loud and clear. It's your Sunday. So let me know, let one of staff members know, let somebody else with a tag or one of the prayer team friends afterward talk to them and we'll help you get ready for that. I know, I get it when it comes to baptism and under the water and needing to share your story. I know that can be like, yipes. Some real trembling, right? Let it be your opportunity to proclaim it, to proclaim Jesus as your king. Back in Psalm 96, a couple more things and then we'll be done. Better reality right here. Better reality. Did you see it? We feel like this, right? But what's he say? The world is what? Firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. The Lord God is truly overseeing. Now, listen, friends, get a hold of this because it can be so easy to forget it when the endless news streaming our way is wars and rumors of wars and our own hearts feel all of the angst and the anxious feelings and when you're trying to put the pieces back together and even when you're walking through times with friends and counselors and therapists and others and you're trying to put all that together, it can just all feel like it's spinning out of control. Look at what is said right here. Let it reorient your heart and mind. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. He's overseen it all. He's in control of it all. He still is. Even when it feels, especially when it feels like it's all spinning out of control. We can count on him. You can count on him to set things right. With his good, equitable, merciful, holy, righteous, and fair judgment. So look at these final verses. Verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. Oh, now watch what David does. This is so awesome, what volleys right here. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. David is taking the long view. It's the view we need. Especially right now. The long view toward ultimate redemption because of his faithfulness. He comes. Check it out. Look what he says. He comes. He comes to judge the earth. Here's a seriously joyous anticipation of King Jesus coming. Both the first time and then his second coming. Notice how David gets nature, all of creation involved. So here's our final catalyst for reorienting. Here it is, final catalyst. Rejoice with all creation in anticipation of King Jesus coming. Rejoice with all creation in anticipation of Jesus coming. The season we're in right now is a great time to reflect. Certainly, all seasons should be, but wow, isn't it something right now? Rivers and oceans rushing and roaring. The fields showing off their bountiful harvest. Just driving in here today, fields showing off, harvest. Forests and trees displaying their colors. How about the last couple days? I mean, was that not amazing? The colors on display? Yeah, I mean, just astounding. These lines right here can motivate us in creation celebration, sensible creation care, and growing anticipation for what's still to come. Make sure you get out there to soak in creation this week. Absolutely. We see all this and we sense the rejoicing. Why? Why such rejoicing? Because we also anticipate. David's words really match with Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 Paul speaks of all creation groaning. But then the glorious redemption to come when King Jesus comes again. See, he came the first time, right? He came as the babe in Bethlehem, the one who, as John says in John 1, tabernacled among us, tented among us. He came in everyday ways, and he then went on to teach and work miracles, and he worked among us, and then he went to the cross for us to save us, to forgive us of our sins, and to give us that newness of life. And then he rose from the grave, and he ascended back to the Father, and through the Holy Spirit gives us that ongoing power every day to live, love, and work like he lives, loves, and works. And he's promised he's coming again. He's promised he's coming again. His righteousness and faithfulness bolster our confidence and reorient us amidst our dizzy, spinning days. In the midst of all the dizziness and spinning, his promises, his confidence reorient us. I have to chuckle over playgrounds these days. Have you been to one lately? They are so cautiously safe. Some of you are grinning. You know what I'm talking about. Rubber mats, plastic slides, soft, cushy wood chips for kids to fall into. When I was in kindergarten, the recess playground was on asphalt. No joke. I guess kids were made of tougher stuff back then. We had a big old metal rusty slide that dropped you onto hot, hard pavement. I'm not kidding. Other playgrounds were similar with all sorts of wickedly cruel, daring, and fun devices. Like, do you remember this one? Who remembers this one? A metal merry-go-round. Now, some of you of younger ilk, you're looking at it, you're like, what is that? Yeah, an old merry-go-round that could catapult you to Tokyo if you let go. So wobbly and wicked, spinny and crazy. Somebody after 9 o'clock service reminded me that the goal was push your friends out to the outer edge and then fling them off. Creative. Crazy stuff, though. All the spinning. And it can feel like our world, both overall and personally, is spinning like crazy. But anticipation of King Jesus coming, both the first time and the next time, his coming meets us in our dizzy, dismal disorientation and reorients us if we let such sacred lines like Psalm 96 meet us right there. The band's gonna come and lead us in a couple more songs. We're gonna sing with some joy going out today. And as they come, I wanna invite you to listen to Psalm 96. Different than we've heard it so far. So Psalm 96 in the Message paraphrase from Peterson. I wanna invite you to listen to these words. Let's stand, and I'm gonna invite you to, maybe if you want to, close your eyes and reflect. Just listening, if you'd like to close your eyes and reflect and listen to the Message paraphrase of Psalm 96. Sing God a brand new song. Earth and everyone in it, sing. Sing to God, worship God. Shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost. News of his wonders to one and all. For God is great and worth 1,000 hallelujahs. His furious beauty puts the other gods to shame. Pagan gods are mere tatters and rags. God made the heavens. Royal splendor radiates from him. A powerful beauty sets him apart. Verse 7. Bravo, God, bravo. Everyone join in the great shout. Encore! In awe before the beauty, in awe before the might. Bring gifts and celebrate. Bow before the beauty of God, then to your knees. Everyone worship. Get out the message. God rules. He put the world on a firm foundation. He treats everyone fair and square. Let's hear it from sky, with earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels. Animals come dance. Put every tree of the forest in the choir. An extravaganza before God as he comes to set everything right on earth. Set everything right, treat everyone fair. Let's sing out together.